All right, so took another week off, but I was really busy last weekend, but here we are. So this podcast is intended mostly for former and current students of mine. I'm an ESL teacher, of course. My name's Chris Kowalczyk, and I've been teaching ESL or English to non-native speakers since 2007. So that's about 18 years now. It's 2025. Yeah, so coming on 18 years. So today, I always say I want to keep it short, but I really would like to keep it short today because I have to leave soon. But I wanted to talk about the concept of sweating in the gym so that you don't bleed in the cage. There's other words for this, or there's other ways to say this, express this idea. I think another one is sweating in training so that you don't bleed on the battlefield. The idea is that, if you never train, right, whether it's boxing or for war, and then when you actually have a fight or you're actually in a battle, if you're not trained mentally and physically and emotionally, then you're going to have a lot of problems, right? So the concept of sweating in the gym so that you don't bleed in the ring, meaning boxing ring, or sweating in training so that you don't bleed on the battlefield, the whole idea behind that is that the more you practice and the more you train and the more you prepare, again, not just mentally, physically, but also emotionally, is that you have fewer problems in the quote unquote real world. Or even if you do have problems, you'll be better able to deal with them, to adjust and to also recover, right? So this concept can apply to anything, right? So I mentioned this because I'm actually going to Japan soon. I'm going in about 3 or 4 days, I think 4 days. And for those of you who don't know, although I was born and raised in the Southern California area, specifically in the LA area, I went to Japan every summer as a kid because my mom is from Japan and that's where all of my family is, or my relatives. And then I lived in Japan by myself for about 6 years. And so I have a lot of experience and thoughts on language learning, not only language learning, Japanese in this case, but also just living in a foreign country, having to adapt and to adjust to different norms, different cultural issues, even things like just going to the post office, opening a bank account, things like that. And I lived in Japan in the pre-smartphone era, so it was a lot more difficult than it is now. And so I share a lot of try to relate to students in that way. So I'm preparing to go to Japan. I'll be leaving in about 4 days. Yeah. And I have not used Japanese in about, well, I went 6 years ago to see family for a few days. And but prior to that and since then, I really have not used Japanese at all. I moved back to the US from Japan. I moved back about 10 years ago. Once I moved back, I basically did nothing in Japanese. I didn't watch any TV or movies. I really didn't listen to any music, read any books or comic books or anything like that. My mom speaks English, so we always talk in English. So basically, we'll say my Japanese got really worse. And then now that I'm going back, I'm not planning to have, long conversations. I'm not going to give a speech. I mean, I'll be chatting with my relatives, but that's a little different. But I'm not living there, right? I'm just going for about 10 days. But I would like to, well, I don't want to have my, I don't want to sound like, what am I trying to say here? I don't want to get stuck during a conversation while I'm over there. And I know we have Google Translate these days. ChatGPT can help, of course, right? But when you're in the middle of a conversation, how many times are you going to go back to your phone? That stalls the conversation. And it's just not something you want to do. You may forget to do it because you're busy, and sometimes you just don't have the time, right? So what I was thinking was, okay, well, there are a few things that might be difficult to express in Japanese, but that also might be important. So why don't I make some notes before I go, put them in a notebook, and just try to remember them. All right, so I had to take my dog out for a second. She woke up, I guess, because she smelled the cat food that was out. But anyway, Completely forgot what I was saying. I think I was talking about preparing for Japan. Right. So I have a notebook that I'll be taking with me, and I like to take notebooks around anyway, because I try to stay off my phone, especially if I'm on vacation. But what I did was there were a few things that I thought were very important that I would want to express in Japanese accurately. And for most day-to-day conversational stuff, I'm fine, but this stuff was a little more difficult. So I give you a couple of examples. They're medical related. So the first thing is that I have an issue with what are called histamine-rich foods and fermented foods. Thinking about things like pork, MSG is a big no-no for me. I can have it once in a while, but if I have it too many days in a row, it starts to accumulate, and I have all kinds of side effects, insomnia, my eyes get itchy, I get headaches, drowsiness, a lot of other problems. But anyway, the point is, it's kind of hard to explain, even in English. It's hard to explain sometimes, and I think a lot of people don't have the concept of it, so it's also hard for them to understand. So what I did was I thought, hey, you know what? I'm going to be eating in Japan. I'm going to be eating with my relatives. They'll be cooking. I'll be going to restaurants. And so, I want to find out if the foods that they're making, the dishes that they're making, do they contain MSG, right? Because MSG is pretty common, especially in instant foods, but in a lot of Asian food, there is MSG or something like it, right? So I didn't really know how to explain it 100% accurately. I had some idea of how to explain it in Japanese. So what I did was I just asked ChatGPT. I said, "Hey, how can I explain the concept of histamine intolerance in Japanese, and how could I tell people politely that I'm avoiding those foods because of, these certain reactions?" And it gave me a lot of it gave me I should say it gave me two main ways to express it. One in a more formal, way, using medical vocabulary terminology. And then another way, in a more casual way of saying it, which would be, just for if I'm just talking to my relatives. And of course, I can mix them as well. And so I was just thinking, for students of English, this is a great opportunity to prepare, like, not only prepare yourself for a situation. Let's say you're going to the doctor and you're going to be talking about something, a bit more serious than just a usual checkup. Or maybe you're going to a job interview, or maybe you're going to a PTA meeting at your children's school, and you want to prepare yourself for some phrases, right? But not only can you use ChatGPT or another AI translator or whatever to prepare yourself in terms of phrases and vocabulary, but you can also, as I've mentioned in previous podcasts, you can ask ChatGPT to explain the vocabulary and the etymology and the grammar behind these phrases, right? So you're not just getting the answer, okay, what should I say? Because, let's say I'm going to Korea, or I'm going to Taiwan, or I'm going to Germany, or I'm going to Nigeria. Well, they speak English, but let's say I'm going to a country I don't speak that language, right? Or let's say an Arab country. So I can just copy word for word or sound for sound what it says on ChatGPT or Google Translate, but I may not understand what I'm saying, right? So this way, by asking ChatGPT to explain the terminology, the grammar, the vocabulary, and the context as well, that's a learning opportunity for me or for you, the student. And what I did was I also wrote this in my notebook. One, so that I have it in my notebook and I don't have to keep taking out my phone. But the other thing is, by writing it down, that also helped me remember it, right? Now I don't remember it exactly, but I got the basic words, the most important words. So for example, histamine is histamine, which is the same in Japanese. Intolerance is futaisei. And then fermented foods is hakko shokuhin. And which a word that I actually kind of forgot. I don't know if I ever learned that completely, but yeah, futaisei is intolerance. I think I kind of remember that. I mean, again, I moved back to the United States about 10 years ago. And I haven't done anything since with Japanese, really. Nemuke, which I know, I knew, but I hadn't used it, so there was more of a reminder. Iraira, irritability. What else? Fumin, which is insomnia. So, again, some of it's new stuff, some of it's a reminder. But the point is, writing it down helped me. The other situation, there's going to be a few more situations I'll think of before I leave to Japan, and I'll write them down. But the other one was, so I'm still taking a certain medication, but I'm actually slowly going off this medication. And the problem there is that I'm not able to compound that medication so that I can get a precise dose. So basically, people usually, when they're taking a medication, they usually just split the dose, right? Or I should say they split the tablet, cut it in half with a pill cutter, maybe cut it into quarters. But even cutting it into half with a pill cutter, you're not getting the same, it's not that precise. You might be off by 5 or 10% or more. So what I do is I crush the tablets, and then I put them into capsules. Well, I weigh them first, and with a jewelry scale to get very precise. And so that's fine. I have these capsules that I make myself, and that's fine until I'm traveling internationally, right? So especially Japan is quite strict. Or even on the US side, they say, hey, what are these capsules? They don't look like a normal capsule, like, from a medication bottle. So what I did was, just in case something happens, at customs or security, I have a prepared statement, again, using ChatGPT, to help me explain it in Japanese, and then I wrote it down. A lot of the vocabulary I already knew, but it's not something that I could recall immediately. So words like kudaku, which I believe is to crush or break up, and then tsumeru, which means to like put into something. So putting the medication into the capsules, kapseru ni tsumeru, right? Jōzai is a tablet, so jōzai o kudaite, meaning I crush the tablets, right? So, and it was kind of fun, just kind of reviewing that as well. But I think this will really help me in those situations, rather than taking out my phone and trying to look up the words, trying to express it. That could take 20, 30 seconds. I may be a little bit nervous if I'm at customs or security. That may affect it as well. So I thought that was a pretty interesting thing. I think I used to do this when I lived in Japan. But the point is, just like anything in life, preparation, the more you prepare mentally, physically, and emotionally as well, the less problems you have in the real world, whether that's when you're at security or when you're traveling or seeing the doctor or in a job interview or whatever. And even if you do have problems, because you're going to have a problem eventually, no matter how much you prepare, but if you are prepared physically, mentally, and emotionally, you're going to recover much quicker, much easier. You're going to be able to handle yourself and adjust on the fly. So I think there's what's wrong with preparation, right? You don't doesn't cost anything, maybe a few minutes. And like I said, more than just preparing, though, it is a learning opportunity, right? So I guess I really do want to keep this short. I do need to get out of here. But I'll close by saying, let's say you're going to a parent-teacher conference, and you're worried about, being able to use English with your children's teacher, or you have a job interview, or you have you're going to rent your first place by yourself in the United States, or maybe you have a first date, I don't know, in English, right? But I think it's a good idea maybe to write down a few things that you want to express that might be a little bit difficult. Run them through ChatGPT or Google Translate, see what comes out. I recommend ChatGPT though, because it's more versatile. But when you get the answer, right, okay, here's what you should say in English. I'd like you to, what I said in a previous podcast, I'd like you to ask for an explanation of the vocabulary, of the grammar. And also ask for different ways to express that. What's a more formal way? What's a more casual way? What's a more lighthearted way? Because again, when we learn vocabulary, we also have to learn that that word is not appropriate for every context, right? Sometimes you have to be more, use more medical terminology, and sometimes you want to explain it in a more, using everyday language, right? And so I think the same thing applies to this. So anyway, this will probably be my last podcast before I head to Japan. I'll be there for 2 weekends. So maybe I'll have some encounters, some experiences, and I'll record something while I'm in Japan and talk about that. But yeah, I think at the very least, I'm going to prepare a few more phrases, think about some things that I want to... Oh, there was one more thing I wanted to express to my family in Japan, you know, because, you know, we'll be talking about work. Hey, what do you do for work? All that stuff. Because I'm an adult school and community college teacher for non-credit programs, these things really don't exist in Japan, right? So a lot of times, again, it's not just language that we're translating, the vocabulary, it's concepts and culture and context. So you could speak perfect Japanese, but still have trouble explaining, well, okay, what is an adult school or what is a non-credit community college program or even community college? They don't really exist in Japan that the way they do here. So not only am I having to use Japanese for the vocabulary, but I'm having to explain something that doesn't exist in Japan. So I asked ChatGPT to help me out with that a little bit. I think I forgot to write it down. Let me actually check my notebook right now. I'm opening it. I did not write it down. Okay, so it's still in ChatGPT, but I hadn't copied it to my notebook. But there were a few words that I picked up that when I read them, it made sense, but it's just something that would have been a little more difficult for me to explain, you know, on the spot, right? So words like, okay, these are classes students take for practical purposes and not for a degree or for any units or credits or things like that. What is a community college? I mean, that again, that concept doesn't really exist in Japan or adult schools. So I got some vocabulary about that. I'm going to put in my notebook a little bit later when I get back. But I'll have to think of some other situations too that I like to prepare for because, nobody likes to be unprepared, right? Okay, I'm going to cut it off there. So hopefully I can record a couple episodes while in Japan. That might be interesting. And as always, if you have any questions or comments, if you're watching it on YouTube or listening on YouTube, just put it in the comment box, okay?